Welcome back, everybody. Now, I have another answer for you. I was asked, what is this about baptism? And why do one church do it, another one, which is right? And so I have an answer. And it is the answer of God, and let's hear it. Okay, so I've got two scriptures. Matthew, the 28th chapter. We'll start at the 16th verse. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, commands the apostles to baptize people. Acts 2 and verse 37, this is on the day of Pentecost. Peter stands up and answers the crowd who says, what must we do? You know, they're very concerned. You know, because of all of the happenings, we won't go into all of that, but the people in the street who hear the disciples praising God in their various languages, very concerned about what they would do. And Peter preaches, and here's an excerpt. Acts 2, verse 37. And now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to explain to you what you need to know as a new Christian about baptism. And maybe not even as a new Christian, right? And these are the two basic scriptures. First, I'm going to tell you what baptism is and what was the background understanding of people of this day. Then I'm going to solve the difficulty of should you baptize babies and confirm people when they're of age, or are you going to have only believers baptism and dedicate babies? And third, I'm going to answer what words you should use when you baptize people. And at the end, I'm going to tell you what's really important. Okay. All right. So let's go to Matthew, first part of Matthew, for the background. So we're going back, all the way back to Matthew, the second chapter. And we're talking about John the Baptist. Matthew 3. Now, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet. Now, this is Matthew talking about John. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now, John himself talks about what he was like. And verse 5, Jerusalem was going out to him, and all Judea and all the district around the Jordan. And they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees, now these were the religious rulers, coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bring forth fruit in keeping with your repentance. Okay, so the background here is that baptism was a symbol of washing your sins away. Actually, water, of course, does not wash sins away, but if one repented and then was immersed, that was the religious ritual of the day to signify and possibly seal repentance. Now, there was some background. John didn't make this up. There was some background. There was a sect, the Essenes, who were doing ritual dunking repeatedly. Okay. But it's clear from this text that baptism is related to repentance. Further, it's clear that John was preaching. Lots of people came out. And this is interpreted by Matthew and by Jesus elsewhere to be a preparation for the Messiah, the great event of the Messiah coming, and John helping people to repent, get their hearts right before the Messiah, Jesus, namely, came, was an important thing. So that's the background. And so when in the end of Matthew, we see Jesus telling his disciples, his apostles, to go out and make disciples of all nations. So they are to teach them, right? Not just convert them, but teach them and transform them by the teaching. And they are to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then we see in Acts, Peter doing exactly that. Only, you know, a few weeks later, and he is telling them to repent. Does that sound familiar? Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. So in all of these cases, we see baptism associated with repenting. Now, there are some people who push this one verse that you can't be forgiven without baptism, but it's a basic fundamental principle of Bible interpretation is that you don't just hobby horse on one verse, but you compare scripture to scripture. So I think we can all agree that repentance and baptism go together. So it's about making your heart right and signifying that in a public way. Okay, so we can all agree on that, although some people, you know, go beyond this, but anyway, we all agree on that. So that's what baptism is. Now, question was, what about this? Some churches do it one way and some churches do it another way. In fact, I was asked this question point blank in a Sunday school class I was teaching, an adult Sunday school class, in a Methodist church. Okay, the Methodist church baptized babies and confirm children in the sixth grade or something like that. However, in this church, the pastor had just dedicated a baby, indicating that he believed in believer's baptism, which was unusual. And I don't know if he knew that I knew, because I hadn't been there that Sunday. And so right in the middle of studying Mark, somebody who, well, was pretty blunt, just asked me right up front, in the middle of everything, so why do some churches do it this way, and why do some churches do it that way, and which is right? And here I am. I'm not even the pastor of the church. So that's a loaded question. So here, this is what I said. The older liturgical Protestant churches baptize babies because they want to say and show forth that a child is covered under the parents' covenant, and that child is part of the people of God. And they will compare baby baptism to circumcision in the Old Testament, in the Jewish way. And then they will ask that child, when the child becomes old enough to make their own decisions, or of reason, typically when I grew up, Methodist church I grew up in, it was in the sixth grade, they ask for that person to make their own decision, and then they would go through confirmation. So this is the typical pattern in all the older churches, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Methodist, Episcopalian, Anglican. So they have infant baptism and confirmation because they want to say that children are included in the covenant and the people of God under their parents' covenant, and that people should confirm that with their own decision when they are old enough to. And then all of the churches that are from the Anabaptist route, and typically the newer churches, will practice what they call believer's baptism. So when a couple has a baby, they will dedicate that baby because they want to show forth that the child is part of the family of God and taken care of under the parents' covenant. But when the child is old enough to make their own decisions, they're asking that child to make their own decision for Christ or ask the Lord into their hearts, and after that then engage in baptism. So what I want to show you, first off, is the similarity between the two thought systems. In fact, there is scripture in Acts where the Philippian jailer asks Paul, to come and talk to him, and Paul says that both he and his household will be saved. And so household, in that case, Philippian jailer would be not just children, but servants as well. So that's the text people use that say, your children are saved based on the saved parents. And so, you know what? You're going to have to sort this out based on what church you like. I'm going to tell you, children are included in the family of God under their parents' covenant, and you should make your own decision and signify that publicly. That's what's important. And yes, be baptized. Baptism is very important. So further, I would say, if you are asking this question, you probably are concerned about being baptized. And if you're not sure that your infant baptism took, well then, get baptized. Now, there are people who teach against adults baptizing, getting baptized again once they've been baptized as a baby. And there is a verse that says, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. And some of the older churches use that to scare people that they should never get rebaptized. But in fact, that's not what that verse means. Read it in context. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. It's saying that all of us as a people of God believe in baptism as our public sign of actually being Christians. And so it's about unity. It is not about division and fear, etc. So just like we can't tell you that people didn't get rebaptized again and again with John, and we know they did in the Essenes, if you feel like you want before the Lord to be baptized as an adult, then I'm telling you, go for it. And you know, there are tourists, when they go to Israel, they happen to be at the Jordan River, and so if a minister is being the tour guide, they get rebaptized. You know, and nobody has a scruple about it. It's only a few churches that really want to push their view of infant baptism that are scaring people. So you're free. You're free. Go and have a relationship with the Lord. That's what's important. Yes, you should have relationship, live in community with Christians. You don't have to make an issue of this. This is not something to divide over. Do get baptized. Because what? Because the Lord said so. And because it works. Okay. All right. So then you've got this controversy. Should we be baptized in the name of the Trinity or the name of Jesus Christ? Well, you know what? What's really important to you is to be baptized. And leave that to your minister. Now, if you're a minister and you're really asking, Well, then you know what? Every man should be assured in his own mind. But I really don't think that the Lord is going to rule out a baptism based on this technicality. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't seem to be in the character of the Lord. If I had to make the call, I would say red words win. You know, red words win. If that's what the resurrected Jesus says, then that's what I'll go for. But, you know, I've seen ministers on both sides of the issue settle the thing by using both formulas. You know, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You know what? This is just not worth dividing over. It's a distraction. There is a verse that says, mark those which causes division among you, and from them turn away. So what's really important is that we should repent, that we should have our consciences washed clean, that we should obey, that we should be part of a worshiping community. That's what's important. And that's your answer. So go be baptized. Go learn more and more about what it means, because there are a lot of verses about it. Let me give you one of those. Okay, here is a good one. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 7. Galatians 3 and verse 27. Galatians 3 and 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now go and think about that. Meditate on that. Don't spend your time worrying about these divisive and less consequential issues. Worry about what this really means for you in terms of your life change. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. If you are in Christ and Christ is in you, what follows? It's a big and an awesome thing. Romans 6 and 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? 6 and 3. And 6 and 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And verse 5, for if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Woo! That is a lot. Go meditate on that. Yes, be baptized. Repent of your sin. And then you might spend an eternity finding the width and breadth of those scriptures. What does it mean to have died with Christ and therefore be raised with Christ? What does it mean to have put on Christ? Amen. Hallelujah.